Well, I invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew 7, 21 through 27 today as we finish the Sermon on the Mount. And today's sermon is from Matthew 7, 21 through 27 from our sermon series, this final part of the Sermon on the Mount, The Narrow Way. And our theme this morning, lip service and head knowledge. Matthew 7, 21 through 27. I'll read it out loud. Follow along in your Bible. Then I'd urge you, keep your Bible open. We'll work our way through this text as we consider the words of Christ. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for our Christ, your Son, our Savior. We thank you for his preaching ministry, for his miracle ministry, and for his death and resurrection ministry, that we might live, that sins might be forgiven, that the Spirit may be granted in fullness to all who believe. We pray today, as our Christ sits at the Father's right hand, that he would rule over us, that he would teach and instruct us, that he would encourage us and care for us through the Holy Spirit. We pray, O Lord, for each person in this room, that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, that you would give us strength in our bodies and souls to follow you. Thank you for each person in this room, Lord, and your mercies are so tender toward each of your children. To those who do not yet know you, may this be that day, their hearts open in contrition and faith. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things, and let us all say, Amen. Well, it was a conference on heart health. Thousands of doctors gathered at this conference to discuss many things, and among those many topics were the benefits of a heart-healthy diet. Well, then lunchtime came. And many of those same experts lined up in the food court to get their fried food. Well, it so happened that a reporter from the Boston Globe was there, and he noticed one cardiologist, and he asked the cardiologist if he was setting a bad example. And he replied, "No, because I took my name tag off." it leads us to this question. Are we hearers of the word, or are we doers of the good word? Now, that is the final question Jesus is posing here in his last Sermon on the Mount. He's concluding this Sermon on the Mount. It's been going now for three chapters, Matthew 5, 6. It concludes here in chapter 7. And he has reached the conclusion. And conclusions are very important when one is preaching. I had many professors emphasize that point to me over the years. And in this now famous sermon, Jesus is quite aware that his audience faces a danger of merely hearing the sermon while doing absolutely nothing about it. He knows that if religion simply boils down to listening to sermons week after week, month after month, year after year, critiquing them, comparing them, judging them, categorizing them, if that is it, well, that kind of religion will do no one any good on the final day of judgment. And so Jesus, in his concluding remarks in this sermon, has been giving us three picture stories to urge us toward application. We've discussed two of them, the two gates, the two trees, and now today, the two foundations. His final story is about being a doer of the word. Now, just as an aside, I find it fascinating that the topic of being a doer of the word and not a hearer only comes up again and again in the New Testament letters. That's because the apostles first learned this teaching from Jesus right here in this Sermon on the Mount. And then as they went about their work, they noticed it happening with so many people being hearers but not doers. And so that is why they pick up the theme in their letters, the epistles. 1 John 1:6, John says, "If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie." Then he says, 1 John 2:4, "He who says, 'I know him,' but disobeys his commands is a liar." The most famous, of course, is when James, the brother of our Lord, picks up that theme in the letter of James. He warns about head without heart knowledge in James chapter 1 and faith without works in James chapter 2. Well, this morning we're going to dive into the very sermon that birthed all of that teaching in the letters, the Sermon on the Mount, right here where Jesus speaks about it first. Now, Jesus is wrapping up his sermon and he's moving. Last week he talked about false teachers. You'll know them by their fruit. But now he speaks about false listeners. For even if one is a true teacher, one can be a false listener to the true teacher. And he offers two warnings today about all who listen. So if last sermon was a warning to me and Pastor Jerry, Pastor Doug, Pastor Mick, and all who have been pastors and are pastors, today's warning is for you, the listener. And Jesus gives two warnings about false listeners, and I hope that these stick with you today. The first is that they give lip service to God. The second, they have all head and no heart knowledge. So our first point, Jesus says to all his listeners, do not merely give lip service to God. Let's see this in verses 21 through 23. So I'll read my Bible, you look at yours. Let's walk through God's word together. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Verse 22, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, Did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. What marks one who gives false lip service to God? What are the leading traits? Well, firstly, we see clearly that they say with their lips they are right with God when they are not. They say they are right with God when they are not. I want you to notice in this little paragraph, the word say comes up twice. Verse 21, look there, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. Then verse 22, many on that day will say to me. All right, Jesus is addressing a group of talkers. Talk, talk, talk. Talkers. They believe they are right with God simply because they say so. All because they give lip service to God and give lip service about God. They talk about God. They talk to God. Can I ask you a personal question? Now be honest with me. Have you ever spoken a lie so many times that you actually start to believe it? I'm afraid I have to admit, I have. I'm sad to say, and I've heard others do it as well, talk about things that I was a firsthand witness to. You're like, that didn't happen. You see, let me describe to you a phony. A phony is someone who believes what they say even when it is not true. In fact, a phony will say something with such frequency and such intensity and with such believability and regularity that it actually becomes true in their mind, even when it really isn't. Ergo, they say they are right with God. They say it so many times that they're right with God. They're right with God. They're right with God. They actually believe it in their mind that they are right with God, when in reality, they fooled themselves. They are not right with God. Well, let's see. How does one do that? How does one convince themselves with their words? Yeah, notice how they do it. In fact, we're going to walk through it, and this will be a warning for us to just guard ourselves against making the same mistake that the talkers do in this teaching. Firstly, I want you to notice that they speak about Christ with great courtesy. Great courtesy and deference. Notice that they say, Lord, Lord. Lord, Lord. Now, that is a very respectful and courteous way to speak about Jesus. In fact, to call Jesus Lord, Lord is the equivalent of calling Jesus my Lord, or sir, or governor. It is a term of great respect. And so what Jesus warns is we ought not kid ourselves that we become right with God simply by praying, O most high and holy and lofty Lord and God of Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Courtesy does not make one a Christian. But he goes on. Secondly, Jesus warns that they say orthodox things about Jesus. They say orthodox things. You see, that phrase, Lord, Lord, is more than just courtesy. It is a doctrinal statement. It expresses deity. The Greek word for Lord here is kurios, coming from the Hebrew word Jehovah, should sound familiar. These pretenders are actually confessing the very divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. These pretenders could recite the Nicene Creed with a clear conscience. You see, one can be orthodox and one can confess right doctrines and still be a phony. Confessing a creed does not a Christian make. Thirdly, let's look on. Jesus says they are zealous about Jesus. They are zealous. Look how enthusiastic they are. They say, Lord, 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 Lord. They are not cold. They are not formalistic. There is zeal in this exchange. There is a lot of zeal in their voice. They are dedicated people, but a dedicated personality does not make one a Christian. It goes on. Fourthly, they speak publicly about Jesus. They are not embarrassed by Jesus. They are not ashamed by Jesus. They will tell the world they are a Christian. Some of them, says Jesus, have actually prophesied in his name. Now, in the Bible, a prophet was a fascinating figure. Some prophets would foretell new messages from God. Others would foretell an old message from God. Whether it was a new revelation as a prophet or whether it was just saying the old one and reminding the people again and again, the bottom line is that they were very public. Public. Listen to me. Being public about one's faith in Jesus does not make one a Christian. Fifthly, and this is the mind-blowing part, their words are sometimes spectacular. Look at verse 22. It tells us that they used their words in Jesus' name to do miracles and even cast out demons. And they did so while speaking the name of Jesus. Do you know that even spectacular words spoken with spectacular results does not make one a Christian? All right, well, we need to take a break, a little breather here. Mere words do not make one right with God. Even when we speak our words with courtesy, when we speak our words with orthodoxy, when we speak them with enthusiasm, when we speak them publicly and get spectacular results, mere words does not make one a follower of Christ. All right, let me take a little break and just catch our breath here because I need to add one caveat. And that is, words are necessary. I'm not anti-word. I'm not anti-speaking, anti-talking. Words are necessarily a part of following Christ. And we know so because Jesus' hand-selected apostle, the apostle Paul, says something powerful about this in Romans 10, 9 and 10. In Romans 10, verse 9, Paul says, if you declare with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, or Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And so, yes, to be saved, says Paul, you must first declare him with your mouth, forth tell it. So kids and teens, that's why we make you stand up front. Oh, that's the hardest thing to convince some people to do. Do I have to stand up front? And I sympathize with you. Don't always want to be up front. Sometimes I like sitting and mingling with the crowd too. But Paul here says, forth tell it, declare it. But then he adds that second condition, that is often absent in the life of the phony. That is, you must believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and believe in your heart. And that is why he goes on in Romans 10, verse 10, to explain the reason why. In verse 10, Paul says, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and then it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." Both are required. Internal belief that expresses forth in words. But then the brother of our Lord James gets into the picture and says, oh, one more thing, don't forget. Belief with words that show up in action. And that's what James 2, verse 18 says. James says, show us your faith by your works of righteousness. And this is exactly the problem Jesus has with the phonies here in the Sermon on the Mount. You see, works were absent. We see that in verse 23, when Jesus on that final day will say to them, "Away from me, you evil doers, you evil doers, you workers of unrighteousness. I never knew you." Notice that Jesus calls them evil doers. That's his problem. They are doing evil while saying good. They're saying good while doing evil. That is his problem with them. They talk, talk, talk while their deeds are evil. All right, well, what evil deeds were they doing while they were saying such good things about Jesus with their lips? Well, wouldn't you and I like to know? Jesus doesn't tell us exactly here the deeds they were doing while saying all these good things, Lord, Lord, and prophesying in his name and even casting out demons. But from the context, it's not hard to guess the very deeds of evil they were doing. It appears that these teachers had absolutely no interest in living by the Sermon on the Mount. Everything Jesus has been preaching about this entire sermon, he's coming to its conclusion. He's saying, they don't want to live by what I just preached now. You see, they don't want to be poor in spirit. They don't want to be meek. They don't want to be pure in heart. And they certainly don't want to be persecuted. They dislike the Beatitudes. They actually think those qualities of Christian living are signs of weakness and failed faith, not flourishing faith. They don't want to love their enemies. They don't want to turn the other cheek. They don't want to walk the second mile. They don't wish to follow the golden rule. They like doing their acts of piety in public. They don't want to keep them refraining them in secret. They don't want to be poor. They want to be rich. They don't want to be meek. They want to be powerful. They don't want to be plain. They want to be beautiful. They don't want to be persecuted. They want to be popular. That is the kind of gospel those false teachers were believing. And so that is the kind of Jesus they were preaching. And Jesus says, hey, I don't recognize that Jesus. And I'm the OG Jesus. Depart from me. I never knew you. Well, let's pause now to take stock. God's word has been preached. It does require a moment of reflection of us all. How often do you look below the surface of your own life? Do you look below the surface of our lives? Are we saying the right things, but do faith and words show up as godly living? Do our neighbors, coworkers, classmates see us trying to live out the Beatitudes? Does our family, our spouse, our children, our parents see us as trying to live out the Sermon on the Mount? Do you forgive people or do you hold grudges? Do you handle others gently or judge them harshly? You know, back in the beginning of this sermon, Matthew 5, verse 20, Jesus says, "Your righteousness must surpass that of the scribes and Pharisees to enter the kingdom of heaven." Well, the Pharisees were lots of words. Talk, 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 talk. Don't be a talker. And if you must, be a doer too. Believe in Jesus, show your faith by doing what he says. Now, that's the first trait of a false listener, giving lip service to God. The second trait Jesus mentions in this final story that the kids, I hope, know very well, and that is, beware of mere head knowledge. And now we reach the story of all stories. Verse 24, Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house upon a rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." We've reached the wise man and the foolish man's story. And here Jesus introduces us a second group of people. And how is this different from that first group of people who talk, prophesied in the name of the Lord, but were evildoers? How is this second group different from the first? Well, this second group, there's no talking at all. Did you notice that? No talk. This group is not the blabbermouths, right? Ever been around a talkative person? You're like, wow, they really like to talk. But I don't talk. I'm not a talker. I'm godly. This group is not the talker. They're not tripping over their words about Jesus. No, these men are men of few words. Maybe you pride yourself on that quality. In fact, we don't even know what they're thinking in this story. They don't tell us. They don't blab it. They don't forecast it. In fact, some people like this never tell you what they're thinking. You can yank for years and years. What are you thinking in there? And they're just building a house. Just building a house. Building their house. What are you thinking? Talk! They won't tell you. But at least you see them at church every Sunday. That's a good sign. They never talk, but, well, they're here. In fact, in this parable, Jesus intimates that these non-talkers are churchgoers. Or at minimum, Jesus calls them listeners. And we do a lot of listening at church. Because I want you to notice in this final story, the word "hear" comes up twice in the paragraph. Verse 24, he says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine." Then in verse 26, he says, "But everyone who hears these words of mine." These are the hearers, not those talkers, the hearers. This second group of phonies that Jesus warns are listeners who hear the word of Jesus regularly. They might go to church every week. They might attend Bible studies. They might hear sermons. They might learn memory verses. Maybe they can recite the entire shorter catechism. So Jesus is not talking about the unchurched in this final story. Jesus is talking about those who hear him regularly. But sadly, what Jesus says is that their knowledge is head knowledge, not heart knowledge. Jesus calls such listeners who do little talking but lots of listening, but it's all head knowledge, not heart knowledge, he calls them by one simple word. Fools. Foolish man. Fools. The Greek word is moron. All because they built their life on the sand, not on the foundations of Christ. Now, listen to me. This group often appears to have it together. This group often appears to be wise. In fact, their house from the foundation up looks like every other house being built by people at church. Why, their house might be clean. It might be well kept. They might have a very nice yard with no lawn mowing on Sunday at that house. But because the foundation of their house is hidden, you don't really know until a storm. Until a storm comes. When the storms of life strike, you know who they are. You can often determine the integrity of our faith when one's life enters a storm. And you can do so by seeing what one does. Perhaps the winds of sickness are blowing through your life right now. Perhaps a flood of sorrow is rolling through your life right now. Perhaps you are facing the storms of poverty or want. Perhaps you are facing the storms of grief and sorrow and bereavement. It is at that very moment that we ask, what will that person do? The faith of the pretender absolutely breaks down in the storm. Their faith, says Paul elsewhere, leads to shipwreck, to the sinking of their personal lives, because a faith that is only consisting of hearing sermons week after week after week cannot endure the floods of tribulation. And if perchance the storms of life do not reveal their lack of faith, the day of judgment will reveal it. And so says Jesus, you don't want to wait to that day. Get right with God now. Now, like I said before, lip service and head knowledge, yes, they are required to follow Jesus. We confess him with our lips. We know things about him in our head, but it must be accompanied by faith and obedience. And so the question today, listen to me now, and don't walk away with wrong impressions. The question today is not whether we say pleasant things about Jesus or not. The question is not whether we know lots of doctrine about Jesus or not. The question is, are we doing what we say, and do we do what we know? Are we doers of the work. And that, dear church, is the difference between wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom is applied knowledge. That is wisdom. It's not to say that the way of salvation is by good works or it's by obedience. No, that's not what Jesus is teaching. The Bible tells us salvation is by sheer grace through the work of Christ on the cross for you as you believe and repent and follow him. But never forget, faith is as faith does. Not merely what one says, but also what one does. Well, let me close with a warning, for this is how our Lord wants his sermon to end. This is a warning story. How great is the fall? That's the last words of the Sermon on the Mount. How great is that fall? And here's the warning. Do you know that it is really easy to fool your pastors and your elders? We're old guys. We're out of it. We don't know half the things going on around us. You can fool us. Man, just when we see you, we're just glad you're breathing, glad you're here. We have very low criteria. They look good. Their temperature was 98.6. I'm very gullible. Ask my family. I've had to learn to unlearn my gullibility. It's easy to fool friends. It's easy to fool parents. It's easy to fool spouses. It's easy to fool people. What's really scary is it's easy to fool yourself. That's the scary thing. You might learn the right vocabulary. You might do some of the right things, but true faith in Christ, when the storm comes, shows up by what one does. Maybe you're the talker type. Maybe you talk the talk, and you've learned to talk the talk because you don't want to get in trouble with mom and dad, or don't want to get in trouble with your social friends, your Christian friends and network. You talk the talk because you would like to get the blessings of God, but not God himself, just the fun stuff. Wherever you may fall as a talker or a doer, may I urge you to consider afresh the words of Jesus today. Talking the talk and walking the walk. John Newton once said these powerful words. He said, "You know, if I ever reach heaven, I expect to find three wonders there. First, to meet some I had not thought to see there. Second, to miss some I had thought to meet there. And third, the greatest wonder of all, to find myself there." Take the inventory today. Do you truly know Christ or know things about Christ? Are you growing in the fruit of the Spirit? Do the Beatitudes inspire you? Do you have faith that is growing in action, not simply listening? Let's all grow at being doers of the word. And that all God's people say, amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this powerful sermon, the most powerful sermon preached in human history. It is a gift to us of grace from God through his Son, now illuminated by the Holy Spirit. And it is our gift today. We leave this room richer people, because we have been given the words of life. Lord, we know that storms in life are waiting, and some of us are in the midst of them. And the day of judgment is looming. And so we pray that grace would hold us, that the rock of Christ would support us, that God's people would build on the rock of Christ with gold, silver, and precious stones. May you grant the victory to God's people through the storm. Make us all a humble people, poor in spirit, gentle, patient, kind, godly, resolved, resolute, holding on to Christ, sweetly speaking, thinking, feeling, and doing as our Savior bids. Send your Spirit. Send your powerful Holy Spirit. Build faith that is beautiful, inspiring, and God-glorifying. We ask these things in Christ's name, and let us say, amen.